Hello, everyone. Sorry, Christy and I were we're in another meeting, so we're traveling meeting to meeting today. So I was just gonna give it a couple minutes for folks to join. I will. When yes. Well, it was fun. We had it was cross-op interaction, and we had a great discussion on deletion. So if you have not, I recommend watching that recording. Really interesting.
Were you just sharing about the app interaction section?
I just started to, yeah, and then
Okay.
I was gonna dig out the agenda and post that for you.
Yeah, well, I actually added it as an announcement on our agenda, and was planning to add the link as well. So, we can talk a little bit about it more in a second. Let's give everyone a chance to join us. It might be a smaller group this week because I know we've got three conferences this week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Do you need a note taker?
I do. Thank you for reminding me. Do we have a note taker? I can actually probably take notes today since I'm actually not doing a lot of the talking, just facilitating.
Are you sure? Or I can take notes for you. That way you can just focus on the discussion.
It doesn't matter. If you want to take notes, that's great.
Okay.
I won't say no.
I'll do it. That way you can just focus on the
All right. Well, Ryan's here. So let's go ahead and get started since I know that, like I said, there's Code for Lib, there's ERNL, and then there's the core interest group meetings all week. So we might have some attrition for those meetings. So announcements. Actually, I think both of the announcements are really you, Jennifer. The first is about WolfCon proposals. Do you want to say anything about that?
Yes,
Since
I
I know you're
can.
involved with the WolfCon group.
Yeah, let me. Okay, so just cotton. Thank goodness I did not get rid of this. It's still in my browser. We do now have guidelines for proposals. So I know everyone's curious about what's the submission form going to ask me? Well, you no longer have to. Ask that, well, you can always ask that question, but this site will take you to some guidelines that list all the questions that are being asked and some guidance on how to fill it out. For like new this year, we're asking about learning objectives, and some people have asked, well, I'm a SIG, I'm gonna have a SIG meeting. What do I put down? I said, put down your topics, discussion topics. We're gonna talk about A, B, and C. And there you go. There's also a presentation if you prefer the presentation mode. So the deadline is March 25th, which is, wow, in about 3 weeks now. So please get those in. And early deadline ends July 28th. And that's it.
Okay. So as Jennifer was saying, we had a really interesting discussion at App Interaction SIG just before this meeting about deletion of records, following on our conversation about batch deleting of holdings and item records. Jennifer actually facilitated that conversation for us and navigated it very well. Would you like to offer a summary?
Sure. I was just writing notes. Oh my gosh, a summary. I took so many notes.
I can do it.
It doesn't matter to me. Do you want to do it?
Sure, that way I
Okay.
won't put you on the spot. I think that it was really interesting and informative, discussion. It was a little bit of gathering institutional memory from, conversations that were had back in 2020, a proposal for, keeping data in sync across folio applications that went to the technical council at around the same time that really provides guidance on keeping data in sync across modules when you're doing things like deleting or moving records, and understanding when dependencies that other modules may have on your module data may be impacted by changes in especially relationships or record statuses. So I found that really interesting. We really focused on two things. There was a lot of revisiting, the challenges of deleting records, and how hard it will be to implement a solution. But really thinking about how can we move it forward? How can we, tease out the different use cases that we've somewhat teased out in this group. One is the, a resource is no longer in the collection, and you need to, manage the records to keep the information aligned with the life cycle of the resource. But then also thinking about, and we had a big conversation about this here, junk data and just needing to clean everything up and have everything just go away. There was a sense that the community can focus on defining terms and approaches, like what is meant by a hard delete and a soft delete, and when should they be used and how should they be implemented. It was also pointed out that, a lot of the pieces of this have been figured out for other types of functionality, like you can manually delete records already. And what does it mean to just do the same thing in batch, right? So understanding that. But also talking a little bit about dependencies and how to better manage dependencies when Folio is inherently not set up to be aware of data in other modules. And this has already been figured out a lot in inventory for, moving holdings and items, and retaining relationships with data in the orders, app or in circulation. I think that the next steps, there was also a sense of the group that there's been enough decision making around this that individual groups should be able to prioritize this work, and rely on the community to make the decisions that need to be made to so that the work can move forward if it is prioritized. And I think that Jennifer is going to be taking this to the product council to think about how they can help, steward the community engagement around figuring out how to implement this in a holistic and synchronous way without requiring all of the questions to be answered or all of the functionality to be developed at once. So, does that sound right to those of you who were there?
Yeah, that's really great. So, and what I'm going to bring to the product council is definitely the recommendation that's already been approved by technical council, and kind of, I'll share the recordings that we've had as well as cross app, and to, to say, hey, this work is already being done. Can we think of, kind of thinking at that higher level then of, the different use cases that, the soft versus the hard delete, and maybe enhancing that technical recommendation a bit, to address all of those scenarios.
Great, thanks. Does anybody have any other announcements for us or questions about, delete and or WolfCon? I will say also about WolfCon, if we have time at the end, we can, start thinking about data import sessions and what we might need to propose or provide or discuss at WolfCon. We can also return to that at our next session if we don't have time, but just keep it in your back pocket and bring your thoughts, Ryan.
Thanks. Maybe we'll get into this later if we have time. It is WolfCon related. Just both topics of WolfCon and deletion. I wanted to note that I've been drafting up a proposal idea for a session focused around deletion alignment across, across the board, across inventory record types. And I was thinking WolfCon could be a good opportunity to do that as a group. So I've been drafting something. So maybe I'll connect on the side with at least you and Jennifer to pick your brains a bit before I submit it. But I'm hoping maybe we could do something like that. Get the whole crew together and talk out some ideas.
Great, thank you. That's really exciting. I think that there will be a lot of takers for that. Based on the very spirited and lively discussion we had at the APRA Interaction SIG, this is something that I think is going to interest a lot of people. Okay. Well, with that, I am going to turn it over to Autumn to lead us in a discussion on documentation and data import. Thanks for joining us and taking up the mantle of documentation for us.
The mantle. Yeah, for sure. Thank you for giving me some time today. So I've been thinking about the wiki site, the docs.folio.org site, and then also this space. So we have the data import SIG space on the wiki, but there's also the information and user guides for Folio apps. Information like pages for each app in that wiki space. So, and let me share my screen here. I wanted to bring some ideas to you all today. And kind of gut check what I'm thinking in terms of kind of getting our documentation under control. I think we have a lot of really good documentation. And probably what's most needed at this point is actually just some content organization and navigation to expose all of this really good information that we have. So that was going to be kind of my first focus in terms of thinking about how to advance our documentation. And we had, gosh, it's probably 2 years ago now, we made a spreadsheet of gaps that we see in our documentation. So there is definitely some new content needed, but I really would like to propose just sort of a review and a reorganization first. And I'm volunteering myself for this. Let me make that clear. I'm not, this isn't Autumn tells other people what to do. Jennifer has done the lion's share of this documentation. A lot of great information on a lot of different pages. And there's some outdated stuff, right? So things, pages that haven't been updated since Anne Marie touched them 4 or 5 years ago. So what I wanted to do is kind of gut check with you all. When we talk about documentation, I think we're talking about two different things. So we have like our administrative stuff, the meetings and the topic tracker, and sort of process housekeeping notes, administrative documentation. And then we do support a good deal of how-to documentation. We're certainly not the only SIG that does this either. I think based on the way that the documentation discussion went at a presentation at WolfCon, the docs.folio.org site really is not the place for detailed how-to documentation. We do have, sort of the basic documentation on there, plus an extra page that gets into a bit more context and guidance for new users to data import. That is sort of it's on the doc site. I should just have this pulled up and I can share it with you guys. Let me grab. All right. Everyone seeing that? Good. Hopefully.
We still see
The doc.
Google Doc. Yeah.
Oh. Hang up. Oh, sorry. I work on a Mac and sometimes Zoom is weird about my browser windows. Let me just fight with it for a minute. Okay. Here we go. So our data import documentation has what I call sort of like the canon stuff. And this is all of the functionality that needs to be addressed in terms of maintaining this set of technical documentation, right? So the documentation working group manages all this. I did. Also create this page. Last year. Uh-oh. Oh, it's because I'm on the wrong release. Well, it used to be in here. I don't remember. I don't know what happened to it, y'all. Anyway, so I don't think that docs.folio.org is the place to put this stuff. But I do want to confirm that we as a group have some responsibility to create and maintain how to use data import documentation. I mean, I'm assuming that, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Go ahead, Jennifer.
I think this is a great idea because, I mean, the docs.folio.org, it's important,
Yeah.
but it doesn't really tell you how to use data import.
Right.
So I think a lot of people get confused with that. But then a lot of our information is kind of divorced from the SIG wiki. So it's in the old tips and tricks site, which is now called Information for apps or information on apps or something
Information
for
and user guides for Folio apps.
me? Yeah, which I don't know if other people keep their sections up to date. And
Some
I'm
do,
not,
some don't.
yeah, I don't know if that's the best place for it either, because it's like another place.
Yeah.
And there's more than just how to, like the release notes are there, detailed release notes. We have a bit of an archive there, and I think like we might have some of our spreadsheets like to record logs and stuff that might be also there. But yeah, I completely agree. This is a great project.
Well, I guess if we agree that the SIG, as probably some of the more knowledgeable folks using data import, can support community use and understanding of data import, what I would suggest next is to decide if we want to keep some stuff in that information and user guides section, or if we want to maintain it all on our wiki. I'm on the fence because some SIGs are continuing to store their stuff here, so under this umbrella, information and user guides. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because this came out of a community council. I was at community council for WolfCon, so something completely separate. But I stayed for the conversation. I think it was their last council meeting, and they had this discussion on membership, and it did revolve or sort of it touches on this in terms of, those who are members of Folio and those who are not, and maybe this is. I'm going to bring it up anyway. So our documentation that we create, this is another thing. Is it for everyone? Is it for members? How much do we offer in terms of support? Like we have the labs, which also result in, kind of automated documentation with the recordings if we choose to record. Our SIG workshops are always recorded. And sometimes we also take notes. So I'm not sure if that was part of your if you thought of that, Autumn.
I mean, it is certainly parallel to a lot of the conversations happening in Product Council as well as Community Council. And I don't know, I go round and round about it. If we want to attract more adopters and more community members, there needs to be some publicly available information about data import functionality. But also, if we want to attract members, having some things accessible only to members makes sense. Christy?
So a couple of things. So I think documentation is different than training.
Yeah.
There needs to be documentation for Folio. Something that I've just really struggled with is knowing how Folio is supposed to work versus how I use it. Not wanting to codify, potential bad practices that, we've adopted internally just to, get work done. I do think that we are getting to a more stable place with data import. So it might be time to rethink that. And, we have been talking about process. So going back to that, though, I would like to understand, I've been in on some of the community council discussions as well. And, talking about members or not members, there are actually, oh gosh, what is the What is that open source tool that, made a really controversial decision a couple of years ago to make their documentation not open so that, anybody can use the tool, but to get access to the documentation, you have to be on Mumbar.
Yeah, that was
Which, who was that? Was that like Archivespace or,
something like that.
yeah. Anyway, so there is a precedent there. I think that that is something for community council to decide and offer guidance on. But separate from that, I'm wondering, as we work on our process and refining our process, maybe as we need to, as a community, make space for this. When we're writing release notes, thinking about what do we need to update in the documentation and in all of these documentation sources, not just docs.folio.org, which is really just an overview of data import. It doesn't really tell you how to use data import. And if we make so, I don't know if Jennifer will agree. But I still think that we're moving a little too fast. I still, in terms of how we're processing things, and making sure that we finish with something before we move on to something else. I'm wondering if there isn't space to, free up one of our meeting. Maybe we don't have three business meetings a month. Maybe we have three meetings a month, and one of those meetings is focused on, just general business, new topics, stewarding open topics through their life cycle. Another is focused on, workshopping things, and then maybe another one is on, documentation. As things are implemented, and ready for release, making sure that the documentation is available, and making space for that in our meetings. If it really is, within our scope and our priority, then I think that it's a critical phase in that sort of end-to-end process that we're trying to put together. I don't know how we best make space for that in our regular meetings, but I think that it's something that we should consider.
I agree. So I think there's like a couple phases here. One, which I can volunteer myself for, is to just kind of do an audit of where everything is, map it out, maybe propose some new sort of page structures or trees, just thinking about like helping folks navigate to certain things. Dealing with what we have so that it's easier to move forward on editing or creating new documentation. Then, yes, it needs to be part of the regular work of the group. I mean, documentation is super not exciting or sexy for most people, but it takes time and it is very high value. So I agree that building in work, having a list of things that needs to be maintained. One thought I had was maybe establishing a position within the SIG, whose primary responsibility is documentation. So there's always somebody on the job. I don't know, Lynn?
I agree, documentation's not sexy, but it is extremely high value. So I didn't know that the wiki is now being like broken out into different places for documentation. I just thought it was just the tips and tricks. So that's news to me. Thank you. So no, we'll have to go on a scavenger hunt. But in the whole documentation process, I don't know if Confluence does this, but is there some way to like deprecate old pages? That way they're not just lingering around and you're looking at this going, is this relevant? Is it not? Because things change so rapidly between flower releases. And then what happens when, Folio hits Zinnia and theoretically it's finished? Like, what happens at the end?
Yes, I agree. Like having sort of a life documentation life cycle, an understanding of that would be helpful too, so that we don't get in a position where we, because this, I mean, this always happens. It certainly happened in my shop where we document everything and then half of it's out of date already. Or in different places than you might expect. And then you have to do sort of like a, the mushrooms have mushroomed up and you got to exert control over it again. So the approach we've used here, and we use Confluence at MSU, is to like really hammer out that hierarchy of pages. And then it's a little less overwhelming to know where to create new stuff, where to find existing stuff, what's out of date and what's not. So I think a lot of the issues really, like, Lynn, you didn't know about the user guides section, and I forget about it all the time. So I think some of the documentation issues just have to do with navigation, awareness, like better discovery. And that's kind of the low-hanging fruit we can fix. And then from there, I'm thinking like a kind of revamp what we've got, examine where the gaps are, and maybe continue to have discussions about what the SIG should be responsible for, like how-to documentation do we want or need to produce? Thinking about the maintenance that requires with each new release. And then I would also like to identify areas where we don't have any documentation and we really need some. So I think that's everything I was going to bring to the group. That and the question, like, is the group okay with Autumn monkeying around with pages for the next little bit? Go ahead, Jennifer.
I would say definitely yes. I mean, a lot of this just grew organically, and
Yeah.
I think it that kind of explains why there's stuff in different locations, and we also moved, when we became a SIG, we got our own space and kind of moved out of the metadata management space, so that was, another place for us to put our documentation. So I think now is a perfect time to do the audit. When we were talking about the process in the beginning, we also talked about we need kind of a way to discuss each release, but also how each release kind of figures into our roadmap. And I think documentation is a part of our roadmap, and definitely I would like to see more of that. I don't think we ever finished that discussion. And we really haven't discussed, data import roadmap here, which I think we really do need to start discussing that, because it's not just new features or reviewing bugs, but it's looking at documentation and looking at where we want to be as a product that others consider. So yeah, I think a part of it does mean really timing out our agendas, and maybe Christy having like a topic calendar would help us, because then with the topic calendar we could say, all right, Trillium is set for, I forget the date, but I'm gonna make up a date. Trillium is set for, May 2026. So we know that the month of May, we need to be focused on reviewing our documentation, our release notes, and, making sure that everything fits with our priorities and roadmap. So that's one piece of it. And definitely, anyone who can help, because this is massive, is great. I mean, it's greatly appreciated.
So I think what I hope to deliver, and I would like to be ambitious and say by the summer, is an audit of all of our pages and then a proposed arrangement. And once I get the okay from the group, I can pull the trigger on those changes and get the word out, like on Slack and to the rest of the community. I may reach out and ask for help with certain pages, like if probably that would be mostly you, Jennifer. Like, is this still needed? Is this, but I'll have a good idea of what content is still relevant and updated and needs to be featured, how we want the data import landing page to guide folks either to that administrative type of data documentation or how-to stuff. Yeah, I think I want to say skeleton, an architecture in place for all the types of documentation we create. Get your
And
approval and then make the changes.
Autumn, do you want this like formalized? Because, we could write up a decision log and then have the community review that, and then have, then have people vote on that as well and
Sure.
get sign off. Christy, I don't know what you think about that. What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry, can you repeat what you said, Jennifer? I was actually investigating something before I mentioned it. What was that?
Sure. So I am just getting this into our decision log so that we can send it out to the community for review and everyone can say, hey, yeah, we all want to, we've all seen this, whether we've been to this meeting or not, and we approve going forward with it.
Okay, yeah.
Getting buy-in from the larger group, basically.
I think that
Yeah.
that's a great suggestion. The other thing that I wanted to propose, because we have the Trillium release coming up, has it been finalized for what was it, April 17th? Is that it?
It's later, isn't it, Jennifer? I thought
I
it was
don't
mid-June.
remember. Ryan, do you remember? If you're still here.
Timelines. That sounds right-ish. At least for the dev freeze of Trillium. Let me see if I can double check on the latest date.
Oh, no. Yeah. The general release has to be. It looks like it's May 29th for general, maybe. I'm
That
just
sounds
trying to
right.
understand the Well, I'm just thinking whether or not we can, incorporate some of the work that you've done individually, Jennifer, into our own processes for documenting release notes and thinking about what's changing and surfacing that. Yeah, I think I'm on the same page you are, Lynn. It is May 29th, if I'm reading this correctly. Thinking about, new functionality and bug fixes and what the implications of those are for Data import and documentation. Maybe we can schedule a session or two to think about documentation through the lens of Trillium. If the release date is May 29th, maybe looking in late April or early May. I see you nodding, Autumn. What do you think, Jennifer?
Yeah, I think that's good. And if we want to set up a topic calendar, that way, normally I've been creating like the agendas, in advance, but in addition to that, we can have the topic calendar and already schedule that in for 2026. I
I
think
mean,
that looks good.
I like the idea of a topic calendar. And maybe we don't need to create the agendas in advance, so then we don't have to update things in multiple places when they change. That would be my only concern about trying to like keep the agendas up to date and the topic calendar up to date.
Yeah, right now we've just been doing the I've been doing the agendas because we don't have a topic calendar. Which is it hasn't been easy because you've got to duplicate it and some I mean it's just some administration admin tasks, but still when you're creating four or five of them at a time it gets a little
I mean, I like the idea of a topic calendar for managing that anyway. I think it'll be really useful. So, yeah.
Alrighty.
Jennifer, would you like me to create? So, I just have these chicken scratch notes in a Google Doc, but I could make a wiki page in the data import space, and then when you send out your call for input, there's something to refer to.
Well, you have your document, right?
Yeah, it's
Did
just like, Autumn's random Google Doc. Would it be a
I
little
think
better if I put
that's.
it in the wiki?
I don't know, Christy.
You can either drop the notes in the wiki or just drop a link to your Google Doc. I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's what I was gonna say. I mean, just the link and that's fine.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, I will get on our new topic calendar maybe in another m month or so and update you on some progress.
Great. Thanks. All
Oh,
right.
sorry, one final question. Do we want to continue to maintain what we have in the information and user guide space, or are we thinking we would prefer to maintain all of our how-to oriented material in our own wiki space? I don't know enough about the. I worry about stuff getting buried in the information and user guides spot.
When you come back after your audit, it might be nice for you to come back with a recommendation. And maybe we can spend some time at an interstitial meeting looking at the documentation and the two spaces together to make sure that everybody really knows what we're talking about, and where to find it and how to find it. And I would like to think about it from the perspective of what is needed and necessary rather than what we've actually been doing, because I think that what we've actually been doing is a little ad hoc.
No, that sounds great. Okay, cool.
All right. Any final questions or comments about documentation before we move on to our next topic, which is authority records? It is what about authority records? It's deleting authority records via data import. And with that, who is
I think
hi,
that's me.
Megan.
Hi.
Awesome. I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. I guess I'll share just a couple of the use cases we've had thus far for like deleting authority records. And there's a definite need to be able to delete them in batches, because we did a bunch of subject heading cleanup on overlap between mesh headings and Library of Congress headings. So we deleted a bunch of mesh headings, and then we needed to go and delete those authorities in the mesh file. So to do that, I had to contact EBSCO, who just nuked the entire like mesh file, and then I had to download the mesh headings from the mesh web from the National Library of Medicine or whatever, and reload them all based on the IDs that I got that were still in the in our bib records. And so, it's every time I need to do a refresh of the authority file, I have to contact EBSCO, who then sometimes can figure out a way of like deleting them by date created, or sometimes they just by like one time they just by mistake deleted all of the records in a file without giving me a heads up. And so the second case that we're currently coming up against is we work with Backstage to do Library of Congress subject headings, and we want to just move that to be in-house. And so I found a way to run our bib records through a script that essentially adds the URIs to authorized headings in our MARC records. And then what I was doing was isolating from those URIs, the ID, the SH ID, and creating a list and pulling, doing another call and grabbing all the authority records based on that list. And then I don't know what happened, but I guess what those records that I got, the spacing was off in the SH. So, for example, see how this one has like a dash or a backdash there? The records that I had didn't have these, and I loaded them, and they created a bunch of duplicates instead of just overwriting, which I was hoping they would do. Like, if it already existed, I just want to overlay it. If it's a new heading, I want it to add. But because the spacing was off in this case, I couldn't, it just created a bunch of duplication. And so that was the second kind of case where I was like, okay, now we need to go through and delete a bunch of authority records based on the date they were created. And again, it's always this kind of unknown. And I spent most of the day, I think that was last some day last week, and I figured out how to do it through APIs. So I finally like deleted, I tested it out, and I figured out how to delete them. It was I had to do a little work with, getting into the APIs and delete based off of date created. And so it was a bit janky though, and it's like I don't really feel comfortable going in there myself a lot and just deleting source records through the APIs, or going to the SRS, I guess it is. So that's mostly some of the hiccups we've had thus far in terms of adding records. And the ideally what we really do want to land at is just being able to add those URIs to like our new records. So I just pull out, export anything that's been cataloged in the last 3 months, run them through a script that adds those URIs, and then I can keep the authority file up to date by pulling out those SH IDs and getting the associated authority records and loading them. Again, if they're already there, just overlays. If it's not, it creates it. So that was the ideal plan, but it just ended up being like creating a bit of a mess and having to delete a bunch of records and such. So I don't know if that's helpful to share. If there's anything else I can kind of be of the only other note that I have too is we have a local authority file. We created our own indigenous subject headings based on some of the practices that have been happening. So I set that up in our settings and we loaded all of those indigenous, where is it? We're calling it the Douglas College Indigenous Vocabulary. In Mark Edit, I created like authority records for this vocabulary. I, in Mark Edit as well, created IDs in the 001 with the prefix DC and DIG. And Mark Edit kind of created, you know, all those, it runs and creates unique IDs for all the records. And then now I didn't know what this HRID thing really meant. So I just put, okay, I need to put something in here. I'll put one, which is fine. But now what happens is that when we go to just one-off add a new record to that file, it wants to start at one when really I've already loaded a bunch of authority records with IDs that went up to say 538 or something like that. So the idea of like being able to kind of go in as I'm like cataloging and just be like, oh, we don't have an authority record for that term yet, and just create it on the fly won't work because it's automatically generating an ID that starts with one. And I can't go in and change that now. Sorry, because they're already loaded and I can't delete them. So we have to manually, if we have to add new terms to that vocabulary, we are doing it basically through Mark Edit and just like keeping track of what was the last number we used and loading it through data import. So I don't know. Yeah, is there anything else I can share? Is that helpful? Hi.
Ryan probably has a lot of questions. Can I ask where did you set the HRID begins with one? And I would think that it.
So we set it up in here, right? Because you have to, when you create a
Oh.
new file, it's a required field.
Okay.
And so I
So,
was like,
okay.
I don't know, I'll just put something in there so I can create this file.
I see what you're saying now.
So now when we try to create a new record in this file through Folio, it gives it the DC and DIG one in the 001, but we already loaded a bunch of records that the last one was probably like, I'll show you here. Like, right, it's like 181. Like, and this was all generated through Mark Edit. Because I batch loaded a whole ton of them, I probably should have specified that the HRID starts with the last re number I loaded, which was like 500 and something. And then it would like pick, I would assume, pick up from there, but.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us. We actually haven't implemented authorities yet, because I just have so many questions about how it works. I don't know if anybody has any suggestions for Megan or I think that this is also bigger than being able to delete authority records too.
It's like managing them.
Right,
Like, if we're going to
right.
be, what I don't understand is why are we given the ability to add new files, like create new authority files? We can create our own local things, but then it's like, you know, we can't edit that and we can't manage it at all or delete it. Like, we can
Right.
delete the ones that we've created, But it like when we're adding records into those, we're pretty much like I have to do it one by one through here. I'd have to go through, right? Like, but I could easily load them in and create that file, but nope, there's no way to. Once they're loaded, like you better be careful. Right? And it's just like little quirks in the ID fields in the O1 that like are causing problems. And even when we tried to go, okay, let's like work around the O1 and do an authority import match on the O10, we got a bunch of like completion with errors. And when I looked them up, they had duplicated for some reason. So I could at least like figure out which ones needed to be looked at by going into the error and finding it and deleting it. But it was just kind of an unknown like behavior where, okay,
Right.
why is this erroring? And it tells me that no action was created, but then when I went and looked, like a new record was created. It was added. I had to go in. These were all duplicates that I had to delete. So that's when I tried to match on the O10. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a bunch of like doesn't work, basically. It doesn't work like in a way that like is actually sustainable for us at this point.
Right,
Yeah.
Lynn.
So we don't at my institution, we don't load our authorities into Folio, mostly because it didn't exist when we went live, and then we decided to load our authority records into ViewFind, which is our discovery layer. But this could be an opportunity for integrating the new number generator functionality that's in Sunflower, that we're just playing around with at this point, in our test environment. But in the future, to integrate it with MARC authority, especially if you're doing local authority work, that way you can just say, this is our sequence, and it starts with this particular number. And then it, with this particular prefix, and then count to infinity for me, and have it built in. So I don't know if you've looked at it. Doesn't exist from authority records yet. They've sort of just started with inventory and doing barcodes and accession numbers and call numbers and that sort of thing. So it could be a place to start.
And that's in which app? That's not in Authority?
It's not an authority, so it's in settings. It's called service integration. There's a bunch of steps involved in it. It took a while. Yeah, so it's under serials.
Oh, serials.
Yeah, or under it's the
Oh.
service integration. But it's the yeah, and
I
then
see.
it's highly technical. Oh, you're lucky you got the reference data loaded, so you could just start. It's only for inventory organizations and users at this point, so it's brand new.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of now at the point wondering if there is any point, is there much of a point for us loading our authority files into Folio other than it being a cataloging tool for our catalogers? Because we have EBSCO discovery layer and it doesn't consume or use our authority records at all. So, like, maybe this is just such a headache for no good reason. Like, it's really just a reference point for our catalogers to like to use as they're going through, but like it's the authority data is not getting f used in discovery at all. So like it's not like it's the broader narrower C also they're getting
Right.
referenced
So
in the search. So what's the point? I don't know, but We do want to keep our authority records, like we want to keep our headings up to date. And so we were told to put the URIs in there so that they would stay up to date. And then it's a matter of like keeping the actual records themselves up to date as well. And if there's no way to like kind of batch delete them and refresh them, then, you know, if a heading changes, that can be difficult.
Well, you should be able to update them and overlay them, but I think that so I was actually just looking through the Authorities app documentation, and I don't see any documentation anywhere about managing the MARC authority file settings. So I see that in the Slack channel, you asked about being able to batch delete and then reload the authority records. Have you asked in Slack about how, you know, why this is happening? Because this sounds like a bug that needs to be explored. And the batch deletion and refreshing of the data is just a workaround because the management of the authority records isn't happening the way it needs to be yet. The authority app is still in development. So, Ryan, what would you think? What is the best venue for getting help in setting up the authority file and being able to manage these authority records?
Yeah, I think that could be I think the metadata management SIG could be a good venue for that. That's where my brain goes straight to.
Okay. I'll try that. Yeah, unfortunately, I do have to run. I have another meeting. So data management, special interest
Yeah, the
group.
metadata management SIG. And thank you, Megan, for the use cases and details you shared. That's really helpful. And
Yeah, I hope
I
so.
think you already saw elsewhere, but there we do have a feature that we're eyeing for Umbrella Leaf to support deletion, so that all that information is really helpful as we're sorting out the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So I look forward to that. If you need feedback on that feature, let me know because I'm sure I'll be testing it right away.
Absolutely, I'll keep you posted.
Okay, thank you. All
Thank you.
right, thanks
Thanks,
everyone.
Megan.
Okay,
All right,
bye-bye.
thanks everyone, and we are over time. I am so sorry. I was so distracted by reading the MARC Authority documentation because I wanted to help Megan so bad that I lost track of the time management aspect of facilitating this meeting. So we do have a workshop next week, and we'll focus on doing the being able to update a MARC instance and a MARC SRS in the same job. And we will, there's a final scenario that we need to test for that. And then I've actually started testing the ability to update items before the instance and the holdings. I've only tested one scenario and it updated the items just fine, but it did not update the instance or the holdings. So I can report back on that and we can touch base on that. See everyone next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All
Bye,
right. Thanks,
everyone.
everyone. Bye.
Bye.